Gentlemen, I noticed that Mincha followed by Maariv next week commences at 7:30. It may therefore be reasonable, starting next week, she shall be starting at 8 o'clock. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, Shefas Adam Chaveru be'erev Yom Kippurim. We started yesterday, page 142. Chaveru shebin Adam lechaveru en Yom Kippurim mechapash ad Shefas senu. So we spoke yesterday about the fact that Yom Kippur is great. Yom Kippur is amazing when it comes to bin Adam lechaveru. Bin Adam lemokim, it does the trick. How person does tshuva? Well, the truth is, the Gemara discusses, does the actual fact, the power of Yom Kippur itself, does that bring atonement, or do you need tshuva as well? But that's all in terms of Ben Adam LeMokim. When it comes to Ben Adam LeChaveiro, that everybody agrees that you are not getting anywhere unless you've asked the person for forgiveness. You've got to ask him for forgiveness. What happens if he says, you remember when I stepped on your toe and it really hurt? I'm really sorry about that. And he says, well, I'm sorry, I'm not moichel. I remember clearly how you stepped on my toe. I'm not moichel, I'm sorry. So what do you do then? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Yachso ve'elech pam shnir. You go back a second time. And you say, please, I know I've come up to you about that time I stepped on your toe. And he says, no. I'm okay with the time that you beat me up. And I'm okay with the time you boxed me and you pushed me out of shul. But that time you stepped in between, I'm actually not moichel. So you have to go back a third time. Uvechol pam, sheyachse v'elech pam shniyo, v'shlishis, and you go back a third time. Uvechol pam, and every time, yikach imoy, you go with, you should be accompanied, shlosh anoshim, you go with three people. So that's the person whose toe hurt, he brings along three people with him. Now, what happens if after the third time, with the accompanying supporting people, and he's still not moichel, then halacha is, im einu mispaish b'shlosha pa'amim, if you went three times, and you genuinely asked for mechila, after the third time, einu zokuklo, you can say, tough luck, that's it, I can't go in forever, I can't, I've asked him three times, no. Mihu, however, the Ramah says, and I'm going to the next page, top of it. Yoima achkach lifnei asoro. He must publicly announce and proclaim in front of 10 people. Lifnei asoro shebikshem mechila. He should go up. He should get 10 people together. He says, gentlemen, Mr. So-and-so, Mr. Smith, the metzias is, I did step on his toe. I know I did. It's already 6 years ago, and I've asked him three times, Mechila, and he kept on telling me no. So, well, I want to tell you that I've asked him for Mechila. It's an important public proclamation which must be made as well. Now, this is all if it's a random person from Shul. However, Imu Raboy, if the person whom you hurt is Raboy, is your mentor, your teacher, your Rebbe, Tzorechle Lechloi Kama Pa'omim. Archie Spice, it's not sufficient to go three times to him. You must go and go on and on and on and on until he's actually moichel. So the reason is, Mishnevus sends if cotton vav lifnei asukedish lefasem adavah shemitzido lo yibotze, to show that you've tried your bit. You've tried your bit. Yes, you hurt, but you're admitting your crime and you're admitting that you've done something wrong, but you're trying your best to sort it out. You've gone once, you've gone twice, you've gone three times, and you're trying to publicly. It's kind of clearing your, I was about to say credit score. I don't know, clearing your, what is it?
Account.
Yeah, kind of. You've done your part. You've done your part. Now, that's all with regards to the person who was the offending side, the person who hurt the other. Now, what about the person who was hurt? So the Gemara over here addresses that person now, who was the victim. Is it right? Can we call him a victim? So the what about him? So he va moichel lo yachzori melimchol. Now, don't be overly rigid. It's true he hurt you. It's true he did cause a lot of pain. But now, you know, life goes on. So the halacha that the Mo'ez is teaching us over here, be moichel. Be moichel. Don't be the one that has that, the akshonus and that stubbornness and that you just don't want to be moichel. No. If a person has approached you, okay, the first time may have been difficult to be moichel, but at least the second or third time, be moichel. Lo yachzori melimchol. Unless you are not moichel, because you can sense and you can feel that the person doesn't really mean it when he's asking for mechila. Sometimes you can see, I'm moichel, and then you feel that he doesn't really mean it. He's got some ulterior motive why he's asking for mechila, or he doesn't really mean it, or he's... So then you don't have to be moichel, because you don't have... So ve'imu moichel now ve'im hoitzel of shem ra ein tzorich limchol. That's a very interesting addition in the Ramah. What happened if a person was moitzi shem ra? He spread a false rumor about a person. He said, you know, this Mr. Smith, you know, he looks like he looks like such a nice guy. I'll tell you, he's actually south of London. He's got a shop. At that shop, he's selling. And on Shabbos, on Yom Kippur, and you don't want to know. You just don't want to know, which is the best way of, you know, yeah, as a curiosity. So if you that it's called Moshe Shema, and that you don't have to be moichel. It happens. I remember one particular case that the person was genuinely Moitzi Shema, and then the halacha is, even if it does go up to the, he spread in town a rumor about the person, which was completely, genuinely Moitzi Shema, he was a false rumor which was spread in town. A person does not need to be Moichel. He does not need to be Moichel about it. Right, so that's what it is. Moitzi Shema, ein tzorich limcholoi. Okay, now. Now, going back to the earlier halacha, okay, so you heard somebody, and the halacha is you have to ask for mechila, first time, second time, third time. We've also learned that if it gets sticky, you should ask three people to come with you. The first time round, how does it work? So what's the process? First time around, you go with or without people? Without. First time, you go on your own. You try best on your own. Mr. Smith, I'm sorry, Do you remember I bashed you up? Do you remember I put you on the floor and I kicked you? I'm sorry. I was just impulsive. So, what? So then, right. Now, second time round, Shulchan Aruch says that what? You should bring along some people. Sometimes it helps to bring along some, what's called impartial, what?
The entourage.
Entourage, it helps a bit. Yeah, like you bring people that are officially like, perhaps like neutral or perhaps like uninvolved or perhaps in like a part of both sides. Okay. So, but now the question is, if you go the second time, you send people, do you go with or do you not go with? Second time not.
It's a bit lame, isn't it?
So you just send people.
No, go on your own.
You go on your own.
Yeah.
Second time you go. First time you go on your own.
Yeah.
Second time you go, and then when you get people to join. Yeah. So it's interesting. Yeah. So the reality. I mean, I suppose it depends on the circumstances. He says that initially you go on your own. Yeah, you should go on your own. If you feel that a person is totally uninterested, Mishnah was sensitive cotton base, if you feel the person is like throwing you out of the house before you even have a chance to speak, then you should get all the people involved. But if you feel there's what to talk, then you should go on your own. Mishnah Munsif Kotten Aleph, I want to just emphasize a couple of points there. Tzorich lefais, so your person must be mefais. Kam bezeh overal iso in oaz dvorum. Hine, avok bishi gam b'shaye mois ha-shonu mechayv mechuyuv lefais, mishi posha mekenek doi. Is this a Yom Kippur related aloch? Is it El related or not?
Yeah.
Why?
To clear yourself. To
good. So the Mishnah Munsif Dosti over here, that really have got to go the whole year round. Don't, like, if you've hurt somebody on Sukkos, don't wait necessarily. You don't have to wait until, you know, you want to be all full and wait till Elul. Yeah? You don't have to wait for Elul. You can just, the earlier the better. Mikol mokim im eloi pnai, humam tenefais et yomach, aval ve'erv yomach, kipur mechuyv lesaken hakol. It's the latest time to fix interpersonal relationship. The latest opportunity in the year is that time. But of course, if you can, you should do it earlier. Kedei she'itayr, he should purify himself, mikol avoinoisa from all his sins. Right, okay. Now, a person says, Mishavuz says, a person who clear himself also from gezel or ino, and give back the £5 that you may have owned somebody. If you still owe somebody the £17.60 from that time, that, you know, so that's the time to clear up all your chovers and all your outstanding debts. With what? With the puzzle, yeah. Good, yeah. Yeah, very good. Now, okay. Now,
if it's a town of Hocking you offend, then you have to, he doesn't forgive you.
It's a very serious problem. Tam Chochem is not Moichel, that's a very serious problem. We'll get to it in a minute. I want to speak about that. I want to speak about interesting Chazanish. Chazanish and other Achronim asked the question, what happens if a person says, okay, I'm Moichel, I'm Moichel, but you can see that it's written all over his face. He's not Moichel. He's still very hurt. Okay, you hurt somebody's feeling. And you're going up to him and you're asking for mechila, and he says, all right, it's okay, fine, don't worry about it. But you can see, it's written all over his face. And you know, next time you bump into him, he's still a bit cold. He still gives you the cold shoulder. And you can see that he's not really. So what do you do then? Do you have to still ask him for mechila? Or are you like, fine, you've done your bit?
Oh, fine.
It's fine?
He still holds,
it's fine. It's his problem then.
It's his problem. It's interesting. I was.
You have three goes.
Yeah. He said he's moichel you. He said he's moichel you, but you can see that it's not genuine. The Chazanish says, I would have also instinctively said that you've done your bit, but the Chazanish says that if you feel that it's not moichel, then you have to carry on. You have to carry on trying to iron it out.
I thought that by you have. You give it, if you say to him three times, and he's not Moichel you, then you've done as much as you can. Surely the same applies here. You've gone to him. If you still know he's not going to, in his heart, he hasn't accepted it. How many times do you have to go, even though he said he's Moichel you, but you know he's not really? How many times do you have to go back then?
Yeah. So
to him.
Yeah. So it could be that you're right. You only have to go three times, but if after the first time. It he says he's Moichel, but he's not really, then you have to carry on going a couple of times. That's what the Chazanish seems to be holding. A more common, perhaps, question, and a really interesting shaila, is what is the halacha if a person doesn't know about your avera? I'm not talking about financial and monetary damage that you've caused somebody, but say that you did say a lashon hara about a person. You said a lashon hara about a person, but he doesn't know about it. He doesn't know about it. Do you have to go up to him and tell him, I spread about you that? It makes you worse. Interesting. But you can't, how can you ask for mechila? I heard this once. This is a true story. Somebody said he wants to talk to me. Let's go back a few years. He said he wants to talk to me. Meeting was a whole. I could see on the conversation when he called me up that he was. He said he wants to. I said sure, okay. So he came up to me. Says that he spoke to a few people about something which was completely untrue, and he wants to ask for mechila. I was incredibly hurt. But he asked me for mechila. I think, in hindsight, I would have preferred not to. I probably would have preferred not to hear about it. I told him and him and him and him. I told, you know, X, Y, and Z. which wasn't the fact.
And he corrected it.
So I was very torn about this. How did he correct it?
Had he gone back to all those people and corrected?
No, he hasn't. So that was my. I told him, you know, I appreciate you coming to me, but I think the only way I can fully be moichel you, the only way I can. Although damage had been done, but that's the only way I can be fully moichel you. If you go to all the people that you spoke and you tell them, well, you know, that you had a misconception, and although of course that is like wildfire, you know, like sometimes you know you can't. Yeah.
So if they have to have gone to their people that
they. I don't know. They, you know, but I'm just saying that this is an interesting shaila. You're saying that you shouldn't have come up in the first place because that causes damage. Could be. I don't know. It's a machloikas. It's a machloikas. It's a machloikas.
If it's not corrected, it will cause them maybe financial damage. What about that?
Yeah. It's a really good question. It's a really, really good question. It's a machloikas. The contemporary poskim discuss it. If you spoke about somebody and you caused damage, whether financial damage, monetary damage, or business, and you want to rectify this Lashon Hara that you spoke, do you go up to him and you ask for mechila, yes or no? What would you say?
He might ask you to pay damages.
He may not be obligated to pay that. There's no financial. There's often no financial. It's not like damaging an item. It's like it's different. It's gomer.
No,
there may not be a way of financially paying back.
But if he said something about a person, which then and that person didn't know that he said it, but then that person got resulted in financial damage to that person. So that person's had a loss as a result of what he said to other people. Surely, that person who said that thing. He should pay some sort of monetary compensation.
Yeah, so that could be already, if that's what he requests as a mechila, he may want to request that. But he cannot force a payment. There's no financial direct liability. Now, the Shulchan Aruch says that if he's a rabbi, if he's his teacher, then what's the halacha? You got to ask? Not just three times, but you have to go on and on and on and on. Okay, define rabbi. What is a teacher?
Learns all his Torah.
All his Torah. You're defining rabbi Muvik. The Loshon Shulchan Aruch is rabbi, his teacher. Which kind of personality do you have to ask mechila for? Not just three times, but endless. Any time it chachen. So that's interesting. Mishnah Berurah Sefkot Zayin says, Rabbi, hafilu einoi rabbi muvak, even if it's not his rabbi muvak that you've learned all your Torah from, elo shaman mini, elo shaman menu divrei Torah, that you heard divrei Torah from him. Now guess what? Most people out there, you've actually heard divrei Torah from. It sounds like a very lenient, or very stringent, I should say, definition and categorization of rabbi. He says anybody maybe means regularly or a lot of Torah. I don't know. Okay. That's with regards to asking mechila up to see base. Okay. Imeis ashechotale. What happens if a person that you hurt, you offended, you damaged, he's already nifter? What happens then? What do you do then? Maybe asor bnei adam, you get 10 people. Umamidam hal kivroi, and you go to his kever, to his burial place, va'oime, and you say chotosi leilekei Yisrael, and you go up to him and you say I've sinned to Hakadosh Baruch Hu ve'leplonizeh, and to this individual I'm standing in front of him shechotosi loy, and I've sinned to him v'noagu levakish mechila be'evim kippa, and this is normally done evim kippa. Have you ever had requests they wouldn't necessarily call you up for that, right? But it does happen. I know it does happen. People sometimes feel after somebody's nifted, sometimes there's very tense situations, very, very tense relationships, and very, very tense machloikas. Sometimes community-wide machloikas. Sometimes very heavy, and then one of the two parties is nifta. And after things calm down and dust like kind of settles, 3, 5, 10 years later, and people suddenly realize, ooh, maybe we've gone a little bit too far. And then at that stage, they get 10 people and ask mechila. This happens. This really, really happens.
I've seen it done at Shul Kavura.
The actual what? By the Kavura? Yeah. Right.
All
right.
The men just
Right. Yep. Yeah, good question. I suppose then one should send a messenger then to do it on his behalf. Good question. Now, Takonas Kadmoninu V'cherem. There is an ancient Takonas Kadmonim, an ancient decree. Not to say Shem Ra, not to spread bad words about Mesim, about Niftorim. So does that mean that you're allowed to be Motzi Shem Ra on people who are alive? What does that mean? This is Takonas Kadmonim. Again, Shulchan Aruch says there's an ancient decree not to spread Motzi Shem Ra on Niftorim, on dead, on people who've passed. So does that mean that you're allowed to, there is no decree that you're allowed to be Motzi Shem Ra on people who are alive?
I think it's understood that people...
That's not horror, then.
There might be a question of the person who's already passed on when you're allowed to.
Yeah, exactly. So the answer is, of course, on somebody's life, you're certainly not allowed. Of course not. The you would have assumed, perhaps, that the Motzi Shem Ra on a person who's Niftorim, it doesn't matter so much. He's anyway passed on, and it doesn't matter so much. So Yeshua Chanuch is saying, no. Even if somebody's nifter, you're not to spread bad bimot shema, even on somebody who's nifter. Pardon?
On parents?
They say Motzi Shem Ra. Yeah, I don't know about Chayav Misa. I do not know about Chayav Misa. I don't know. Siv Dalet. This is like a second sentence. The introductory sentence should have been to Shulchan Aruch that there is a minik to Toivel, and there's an additional minik on Erev Yom Kippurim to go to mikvah and to get malchus, to get lashes on Erev Yom Kippurim. Now the question Shulchan Aruch addressed over here, which is sentence two, is, well, when is the minik to do that? So he says, you're allowed to do that, Mos Hashiyetzeh, whenever you want. Person may want to go to mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur, anytime. Person may want to get lashes on Erev Yom Kippur, whenever it's convenient. Convenient, on lashes. Rak Shiyeh Kodim Alayla, the only point is that it should be before Nacht. Ve'einu Mevoich Al HaTvila, you don't make a bracha on this particular Tvila. So Rabbi Isai, here we see, there is an ancient minik to go to mikvah on Erev Yom Kippurim. And one does not recite a bracha on that. One can do it any time during the day. Ramah adds, you only go once to mikvah on Erev Yom Kippurim. Beloi vidu, you do not recite vidu mishum keri. V'u'adin da tolas tishom kavin maim nami mehani. Tisho kavin raboisai. Throwing 9 kavin of water over your body, which is the second best, also works. I know that in the Corona Yom Kippur, when was that? Some people asked as to whether one can rely on that. Tisho Kavin, the Beis Din's psak was, does anybody remember? Tisho Kavin, Erev Yom Kippurim. Federation said one should. Yeah, I don't remember anymore. Tisho Kavin works, but Ramal says, Hatolas Tisho Kavin works instead of going to Mikvah on Erev Yom Kippurim. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, let us summarize what we have learned this evening. What did we learn this evening? So we learned, Averois Benod Mechaveroi, Averois Mechaveroi, Yom Kippur is not Mechapa. We spoke about, one should go 3 times until a person is Moichel, with people. If it's a Rav, you have to go more than 3 people. Rav is defined anybody you learn Torah from. Mechila should be done if a person is able to be Moichel, he should be Moichel. And Motzi Shem Ra, you don't have to be Moichel. We also learned about if somebody's Nifta, then 10 people should go to the Keva and say the Nusach mentioned. Takoras Kadmoinim is not to be Motzi Shem Ra on Amesim. We spoke about Tvila and Malkus Nevi Yom Kippurim. Yes, 2 minutes about Torah and 2 minutes story.
A few things popped into my head. I'm prepared, so please don't judge. Then we spoke yesterday about the Chalifos, the Kaparos, the Tumaros, the Chotach, and that's the Malach Hamamuna al Chaim. So I mentioned yesterday there's a minik, and I looked up where it is. The minik is from Reb Azgul Zedetov, and also brought down in the Abter of very, very prominent Hasidic rabbis, and they say there's a minik of buying a new knife before Rosh Hashanah.
because there's in the piyutim for v'chol maminim we say v'chol, one of the v'chol maminim we say is hazoy v'chol maminim shuzoy chenabris ha'choy sechayim l'chol choy ha'choy sechayim l'chol choy. So choy sech could be like the malach choy sech is chayim l'chol choy, gives chayim l'chol choy, but it also could refer to cutting. So as we do many things that are symbolic, so we buy a new knife. Rabbi Arzagul Zedetroiva also says it's a skula for panosa. So how does panosa come into it? So he says, if you take the pasuk for that people say for panosa, poseach es yodecha, so the first words, the Rosh Tevis begins with pei, and the sofei Tevis are poseach es yodecha, is also chatach. He also says that the word umaspia is gematria 428, which is gematria of chatach. So that's ha'ora number one for buying a new knife. In fact, I looked up on the internet, there's like loads of discussion what type of knife, and do you have to hashchoza, do you have to sharpen it, and should it be serrated? But I've always had this manik for a long time, and I wanted to make sure it wasn't coming in Shtos, so I looked it up. So that's number one. Horror number two, the big chassidus, the Gera chassidus, so in the times of the Pnei Menachem, who was a previous rebbe, they had 10,000 people coming to Ger, so they didn't know what to do. So they had the big place where the rabbi davens. They drilled a hole in the middle, and then the hole underneath, downstairs, you could perforate another 5,000. So they had 5,000 upstairs and 5,000 downstairs. And the way they did it is they averaged what's the average age of people. So they said that we could halve it from the age 50. From age 50 up, you get about 5,000. From age 59, you get about 50 downwards, you get about 5,000. So one day, the first day, Yom Aleph, the Rosh Hashanah, the over 50s will daven, and the Yom Beis, the under 50s will daven. They all filed past the Rebbe quickly. There's about 10,000 people to say Good Yontov, filed past the Rebbe quickly. There's one Yid from America who filed past the Rebbe to say Good Yontov, and the Rebbe stopped him and said, why are you looking so bad? Why are you looking so ungezogen, depressed? So he said to the Rebbe, I won't be able to daven with the Rebbe. So he said, why? So he said, because I'm 49, so I'm davening downstairs, but tonight I'll be 50, so tomorrow I won't be able to daven upstairs, I'll be davening downstairs. So the Rebbe said straight away to him, Semaforsha Shaila in Baba Basra. So the guy, it was a bit of a Tam Tachem, went like this, so he said, Dav Chof, like in the Chofs. So he thought very quickly, Gerazal Tamil Chacham, and he remembered that there's a story of a famous story with Rabbi Yirmiyah. So there's a story there with a bird, and the Gemara says, if you find a bird that is, if you find the bird and you're not sure whether it's yours, you gotta look at its 50 amas. If you go into a place, 50 amas, where there's a bird keeper, so it belongs to the bird keeper, within 50 amas there's a bird keeper. And within, after 50 amas, it doesn't belong to the bird keeper, it's half, you could take it. Okay, it could be. Comes along Rabbi Yirmiyah in Baba Basra in the Chafs, and Rabbi Yirmiyah says, what happens if it's Regalachas in the Chamishim? And what happens if it's Regal Sheini out of the Chamishim? So he got kicked out of the Beis Medrash for asking such an annoying question. It's a famous Gemara, got kicked out of the Beis Medrash and he wasn't allowed back in. But so he thought that the Rebbe said, Regal Achas, which means one day of Rosh Hashanah, Regal is Rosh Hashanah, is Teicha Chemeshim, he's not yet 50, and Regal Sheini after, so he laughed, then the Rebbe said, don't worry about it, you got my permission, you can join me tomorrow. So Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein brings this story, if I remember correctly, and he asked, very nice, the Rebbe was Mati, because the Rebbe's the Balabos, but what happens if it's Takanos Chazal? If the Rebbe wasn't there, he wasn't Mater it, right? But Takanos Chazal, imagine you had such a law, what would be the din? So he says, perhaps we could say that there is an interesting Shai Tshuva. Interesting Shai Tshuva. He speaks about somebody who is a muchzik to daven. He speaks about chazakas of davening Rosh Hashanah. And he says, what happens if somebody was muchzik to be a Balte Keah for Yom Aleph de Rosh Hashanah? And another guy was muchzik to be a Balte Keah for Yom Beis de Rosh Hashanah. And it's working well, but as you know, when it comes to one of these days, we'll come to Shabbos. It comes to Shabbos, so one of them says it's my day, and another one says it's my day. So the one who says that it's the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the one who says that, each one's got a Tana. One says it's the first, It's the Shechianu. I always do the Shechianu. Another guy says, I always do the second day, right? So it's a big shayla. So the way the Shai Tshuva is machriya is he says, I think that when it comes to these chazakas, you have to look whether he calls it the words iluya, is be iluya. Is there a maila? Is there something unique that is to each side? So he says there is something unique to blowing on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and there's something unique to blowing on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. The uniqueness of blowing, the maila, the iluya, the good thing about blowing on the first day of Rosh Hashanah is that you're doing a mitzvah midaraisa, right? So the maila blowing the second day of Rosh Hashanah is, we say, loy adurosh, you're always going to blow. That's mukhsad. When he writes the words, dila yifsik v'diloy, v'diloy yivatel. That's all, you're always going to have that job, right? So this is because there's a maila of each one, so therefore, you can't say that each one's mukhsad, the day that is the first day, you'll do the first day, you've got a certain maila, but you can't do the second day Rosh Hashanah. That's how he's machriya. Rabbi Pakas mentioned a story at the beginning of last week that also popped into my head, another story. He spoke about the story of Rabbi Aaron Levine and Tefillah. Rabbi Aaron Levine had a meeting with, was it Sar Datot, and he wanted everyone to daven before, and he spoke about the malos of tefillah. A story popped into my mind, a beautiful story that I heard from Rabbi Melech Biederman. Rabbi Melech Biederman said that there was a person in Bnei Brak, a person in Shalayim called Rabbi Nechemya Vekka. Rabbi Nechemya Vekka, he died in Toshin Ayin Hay. When he died, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren came running to the Melech Biederman with a story that he heard many, many times in his life. But once he was nifted, it was like it started up again. So he said the story many times since. Nechemya Vekka, when he had his first child, his wife went straight into whatever it's called, into hospital, because she wasn't. They had to operate straight away, and they went to the biggest professor of the time. His name was Professor Shkilnik. And they said, and he said that this woman is in massive danger, and either you have to operate straight away, and we could save her life, or you don't operate. If you operate, she will never have children again. So he didn't know what to do. So he said to Professor Shkilnik, "Can I go to the Chazon Ish?" So he said, "I'm waiting here, ready." A mass of 75 years ago, and 75 years ago, in order to get from Shlam to Bnei Brak was a whole long sipper. It was a big deal. Anyway, he said. He said, "I'm waiting here with my team." He slept down to Bnei Brak to the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish was about to wash his hands for Mincha. So he comes on to the Chazon Ish and he tells him, "I just spoke to Professor Shkilnik, and this is the matzav. My wife is in, she's on the operating table. Either they operate, she'll never have kids again, or you don't operate, but it's Pikuach Nefesh." So he said, "Pikuach Nefesh? Pikuach Nefesh, what's the shayla? What's the shayla? You got to operate, Pikuach Nefesh." So he said to the, "Okay, so we should." So he's about to wash his hand, he said, "Daven Mincha?" So Rabbi Nechemya said, "No." So he said, "No, daven with us." So, "But they're waiting. We're going to daven Mincha." Daven's Mincha, finishes Mincha, he calls him over, he says, "Chtazola shayla. Tell me the shayla again." Tells him the shayla that my wife's in hospital, they're on the operating table. So he says, "Nishmach na nituach." He said, not to make a nituach. Nisht machna nituach. So he said, "But the Rav said 10 minutes ago to make a nituach." He said, "Haya lefnei mincha. That was before mincha." He said, "Don't you know, mincha can be mishtana teva. One davening a mincha can change teva." So Rav Melech Biederman afterwards said that Rav Nechemya, these einiklich come to me, and they said, there are, after she had the operation, they had 9 other children, and she lived till 88 years old. And here we are, Lebedicke, Chazon Ish, Brachas. Yeah, so that's the koyach of one mincha.
That's the one unprepared that I said.
Very good. Yeah, kishkoyach. Good evening. Shabbos, everybody. Shabbos.